You're listening to episode 73 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. I would like to make a confession. As I was planning my summer episodes for the ESL Teaching Podcast, I hit a wall. In the spring, I was on a roll sharing tips and resources for EL and regular education teachers. In June episodes, you heard all about lesson planning. But then I thought to myself, I am on summer break and I would love to chat about other things that are a huge part of the teacher's life. And that is the long and glorious summer break. It is so open-ended that it can be dizzying, but there are some things that are a must for a teacher during the summer. So I'd like to share my take on what it's like to be a teacher in my life and what are the three most important things we can do during this long summer break. Are you ready? Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. There are several professions that get more vacation time than is typical in the United States. That would be airline pilots, cruise ship employees, firefighters, nurses, air traffic controllers, and K through 12 teachers. I'm not sure if any other professions get the comments we do about their work schedule, such as you only work 6.5 hours a day, or the nature of their work, such as it's easy, anyone can do it, and their vacation, oh, but you get summers off. But we sure do. The jobs that I mentioned just a few seconds ago all share a common thread. They're all high-stress jobs, dealing with high-focus, life-and-death situations, emotional turmoil, and extreme responsibility. It is only natural that it can take a toll on any human being. But before I became a teacher, I too had this idea. I could do it. How hard can it be? All you do is come to class, teach, and leave. Did I think about lesson planning and the time and mental space it takes up? Nope. Did I think about the fact that there will be countless meetings communicating with parents and dealing with classroom management, which, by the way, also take time and mental space? Not really. What I didn't fully realize was the emotional investment and the multiple layers of each day of teaching. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here because chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you are a teacher, were a teacher at some point, or are someone who plans to become a teacher. So if you too get fired up by the snarky remark, must be nice to have summers off and do nothing, I am recording this podcast to validate you and your need to rest. And remaining true to my fashion for providing useful advice, I narrowed it down to three most important components, or goals, if you will, of the long summer break for teachers. The three must-dos. Let's start with number one, and the first one is the need to let go. Whenever the school year begins, it never eases you in and only releases its clutches after 180 or so days of mat race. Every year, there's something new, a new curriculum, a new administration or administration member, a new colleague, a new rule, a new mandate, a new requirement from the state, or a student that poses an extra challenge you'd never had before. Remember, I talked about the need for time and mental capacity to be able to take all this in? It takes a whole year of full throttle and a long, long time to let it go. We need to let go of all the things we have accumulated over the year in order for us to have some rest and not bring it to the next year, which will again be full of new people, requirements, and more. It takes at least a week for your body and mind to finally meet in this space of, ah, I got you. When the first day of summer break rolls around, I am so excited, but I still wake up early. My body is still used to go, go, go. My mind is looking for something to do, and at the same time, I am unable to do or focus on anything. The symptoms might be different for different people, but I have finally realized that if we had spent so much time accumulating the energy of others, we will need some time to let it all go so that we can feel refreshed and ready to tackle the next school year. The second one after you let go is resetting. Last summer was extremely busy for me. I thought I could do it all, and because I love learning and I love seeing my family, I didn't think my plans through because I thought I'm a superwoman or something. First of all, for 2 days after the end of the school year, I had signed up to do professional development. It was great, but it took the last remains of my energy. Right after that, I had one day and then my family started flying in and visiting. Some stayed for 1 week, others stayed for 2 weeks and so on. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about this. I love these visits. They happen once a year at best, but most frequently every other year. So whenever somebody says I'm coming over, my doors are wide open. In addition, summertime is when I look forward to spending more time on doing what I love, working on my business, Simply Yeva, creating materials, podcast episodes, and the Confident ESL Teacher Summit. That too takes time and energy, and that was pretty scarce and diluted last summer. I realize now I had made a mistake of not taking my own time and boundaries into consideration, and while I had wonderful moments with family and achieved all I set out to do in my business, I went back still tired in the fall. And that is a big, big no-no. We all need to reset. While overdoing it was my own decision, I think I learned the lesson, and I wanted to share some points that are key to me of why a reset is necessary during the long break. First of all, when you reset and take a step back, you have the opportunity to get back to the root of why you are still teaching. You know that saying, can't see the forest for the trees? Well, when you are so in it, so in your day-to-day of teaching, you may not be able to see the good times that teaching had brought you. In addition, when you put in some space between you and your work and pursue hobbies that you had neglected or reconnect with yourself in other ways, your next steps become so much clearer. Maybe your complaints during the year that you're going to, you know, change your job or look for some other place to go, maybe they were in vain. Or maybe you realize that that is the next step you need to do. So putting some space and resetting is huge. And if you give yourself that time, that will work wonders. Remember, when a teacher is tired, the spark is much more difficult to reignite. You are not able to give your all, which you must as part of your job. There is no half teaching, half connecting with your students, or half lesson planning. You must be 100% in and on. And that is why a long break and the reset after a year of emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual marathon is an absolute necessity. And then the third component is actually take the time to do what you want and love. So I am not a sleep late kind of person, but I am wake up when your body tells you kind of one. Indulging in a long cup of coffee on a summertime morning is one of my most favorite activities. Reading a book at my own leisure, I love that. Relaxing by the water, whether it's a pool, a lake, or ocean, is another mind-clearing activity that helps me both let go and reset. But if you know me, traveling is my favorite of all. Any time of year, especially in the summertime, because there's more time for it. For me, travel could be as simple as driving to a different state or going on a hike. Or it can be a bit more involved, like going to another country and exploring the nature and cities there. Somehow, by putting myself into a slightly uncomfortable position, like flying or going to a place that is not familiar, or even more, a place that speaks another language that I don't know, I am able to see things much more clearly. I'm able to learn about myself more through these experiences, and that is when I'm truly know that I am shedding the caked on layers of stress and see what's most important in life. Of course, I work in the summertime too, but I have the mental capacity to do so. The work is simply you have a podcast and professional development activities, such as the Confident ESL Teacher Summit, which is held every August. The thing is, when you're not pulled in 10,000 directions all at the same time, and when you decide what you want to do, even this work doesn't feel like work because it has all of the components that I love about teaching. It's connecting with people, it's providing value, and it's learning. And that is all for now. These are all my tips. I hope this episode helped you relax and ease into your summer break or reflect on one that is about to end. I know the span of summer vacations is so different in each state. So wherever you are, I hope this helped you and thanks for tuning into it. I'd love to hear from you as always. What do you look forward to the most in the summertime? What are your favorite things to do? How do you let go and reset? Can you relate to my indulgences or are you into something completely different? Send me a message on Instagram and let's chat. Thank you for listening and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.